This is Ken Lubin, the host and founder of the Executive Athletes Podcast, and welcome to this week's episode. I want to thank everyone that's been listening, and thank you for the comments and feedback. They're awesome and an incredible help in this journey to making this podcast better and better each episode. Once again, this is unscripted and unedited, as I believe it is the best way to get to really know the guest. Today, we have an amazing guest. His name is Matt Johnson. And for those who don't know, Matt is the founder of TheFeed.com, which I'm sure many of you are buying product from. Additionally, he's the former president of the Tour de France team Slipstream, and he's a serial entrepreneur in the tech space. But when he's not working out, he's out there chasing his kids around to ski races and hockey games throughout the country. So Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ken. Nice to be here.
Yeah, we've been trying to hook up here. It's been a crazy time for the feed. It's a crazy time for COVID, all that fun stuff. And we've all had our own challenges. But tell us a little bit about who Matt Johnson is and how you ended up doing what you're doing.
Sure. I grew up in Canada and started out as a ski racer, then quickly found bike racing and thought that would be a warm weather sport. And, you know, not quite as cold. And then I got to Europe as a bike racer and realized that it truly is a cold weather sport. So didn't really solve my temperature issues, but spent a misspent youth racing, you know, both road and cyclocross in Europe in the early 90s. And, you know, found my way to California and thought that was a little bit warmer and nicer place. And, you know, wound up pretty early on, you know, age 20, hanging up my wheels and, you know, joining an early internet company in sort of 94 and got into the tech marketplace for a while. And then eventually the lure and, you know, history that I've had with cycling brought me back in the sport when I joined Doug and JB, my two partners in running Slipstream for 10 years.
Nice. That had to be fascinating, right? Of running Slipstream during that time. I'm sure you've seen some interesting things happen and through the evolution of cycling.
Yeah, it was fantastic, right? You know, starting a team with the philosophy to be we always called it sort of the first place clean team. We might be the last place team in the tour, but could be the first place clean team. And that led to, you know, all these crazy innovations, right? You know, we had Alan Lim building Scratch and building other innovations, sports physiologists on the team. You know, I remember putting the guys in those crazy squirrel bat suits where we like connected their elbow to their shoulder so they could have like a wing on the suit. Like we tried everything. And, you know, what was amazing to me was it was always came back to the nutrition. Like that's the one of the things that worked, like whether it was trying to save weight, whether it was to improve aerodynamics, whether it was to improve training, lots of, you know, there's certainly some value in the training, improvements and techniques, but the gold standard was always nutrition. If we nailed the nutrition strategy, you know, that really we knew it was having an impact. And that was sort of the genesis for the feed.
And talk to us a bit about that nutrition piece, right? I think a lot of listeners here are endurance athletes or cyclists, they're triathletes or ultra runners, smatter quite a bit of ski racing in there involved as well. But talk to us a bit about the nutrition needs and has that evolved, right, through time from when you first started Slipstream to what it is now, or is it basically the same? What are you seeing and what have you seen the evolution of?
It's definitely evolved. I feel like it goes through these different waves. Like we think of a nutrition and, you know, we divide nutrition into two spaces. You've got your daily nutrition, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Most people are very familiar with that. And then you've got the sort of performance nutrition space, which the average person probably isn't as familiar with. Your listeners are probably very familiar with that in terms of before, during, and after their workout. And it goes through these waves. Like, you know, when we were starting in, like, let's just take the sort of 2008 sort of 2009 Slipstream days, you know, it was some high carb but not well thought of drinks, you know, so guys were having sort of gastric distress or stomach upset. And, you know, and then you have sort of Stacey Sims and Alan come in on saying, well, listen, let's get the carbs out of the hydration because these guys aren't hydrating enough. enough because they're getting sick to their stomach. So dehydration's a big performance hit. So let's get them hydrating, put the food in their pocket and sort of feed them that way. And then that then led into this whole, like, you know, let's build metabolic flexibility and have these guys basically be on no carbs early on. They're going to burn fat for the first 4 hours. And then, you know, we went through that era that I think Sky and others really, you know, were leaders in. So you're moving from like, yes, carbs, no carbs, you know, hydration with carbs to, you know, now let's burn fat. And then like Morton comes along and we were one of the first teams to take Morton, which for your audience that doesn't know is like a super high carb drink, but had used some biotech technology to solve the like getting sick to your stomach part of the equation. And, you know, then we see these guys, like we were one of the first teams to put that in place. And, you know, not that Rigo didn't do the work, you know, to pedal the bike and is not an he's an exceptional athlete, but he also had Morton and, you know, got finished second in the tour. Right. And we saw like this unbelievable, you know, advantage for a short period of time, but when everyone else was still on this, oh, we're going to be fat burning. And then all of a sudden you're the high carb team. It's like, they're running on, you know, regular gas in the gas station and we're running on jet fuel. It's like two different, you know, advantages. So I feel like there's just constant innovation every 2 or 3 years. And we're currently still on the, you know, how many carbs per hour sort of approach, which I think is the right approach. I think what's interesting about it is most people don't do enough, you know, is probably the general theme that I see from our athletes.
And Morton, and talk to us a bit about that, because it's a pretty interesting concept for some of the listeners and how it's different than some of the other drinks that are out there. I've used it and that stuff is amazing.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite stories. So we heard about it through one of my partner, who's our head coach, Brandon Dyksterhouse, who used to be one of the head coaches at the U.S. ski team. He, through a friend of his at Nike, heard about it when Kipchoge was trying to break the 2-hour marathon record the first time over at Monza. I think it was in Monza, right? In Italy, they were like racing around the race car track. And he's like, hey, these guys are drinking this drink. We've never seen this before. And so we started looking into it. We figured out it was this company Morton. They didn't have a website. They weren't really, you know, out there at all. And I figured out who the CEO was, called him up and said, hey, I'm this guy from the US. And, you know, is this real? And, you know, it was it was so preposterous that they could pull this off when no one had done this. And it was so simple the way they were doing it. I was like, is this just like an elaborate fraud? Like I couldn't believe it. And so I said, listen, if you're telling me this is real, I'm coming on a plane tomorrow. So they actually have these like direct flights from Oakland near me to, you know, I think we went to like Oslo and then go like Norwegian Airlines or something. So I literally, next plane, I got on a plane, showed up in Sweden, met the guy for dinner and said, you know, tell me about this. And the next day he brought me to their lab and showed it to me and showed me it working. And I was like, wow, this is real. So I said, well, how much can I get? They only had prototypes. So I was like, give me as many prototypes as I could get. I went back to the airport. I shipped it from the airport to the team at the Tour of Italy to say, we got to test this. I flew home, didn't really think more of it. And then all of a sudden the team, you know, calls me back and said, oh, we used it in the race. I'm like, whoa, you're not supposed to, you're supposed to wait. And I think it was probably Pierre Roland that used it first and he won the stage like the first day. So like the first day they use it, they win the stage. He's like, this stuff's like amazing. Of course, you know, who knows what all the circumstances were. And then I guess it was at that point it was on the fast track, you know, and then we actually did use it in the tour. And so that was it. And then we went to the company and said, listen, you know, obviously we're going to use it on the team. And then we want to sell it at the feet. We want to be, you know, your partner in the US. And they already had plans to sort of open up their own sales channels, but we brought it in. We remain their largest, I think, retailer in the world now. So our relationship's more just as a vendor retailer. But the product's amazing. It fits a very unique place in the athlete's cool kit when you want like ultimate high performance.
Now, do you use it during your ride? Use it before your ride? How do you use it?
Yeah. So the innovation that Morton came up with is it's really just two things. One, you want to get the largest amount of carbs that you can digest per hour. And generally they'll say, okay, your body can sort of process, your stomach can process about 60 grams of carbs per hour. But if you mix like maltodextrin, fructose, glucose, you can sort of get that up to like 80 grams. That's why you see on these gels and some of these drinks, like they're mixing different kinds of simple carbohydrates. But there's sort of this limit. Like at some point your stomach just stops absorbing it. It sits in your stomach and you start to feel sick. Morton's technology on the drink was to say, hey, we're going to encapsulate this with an alginate. It's like a seaweed encapsulation. So when it hits a change in pH in your stomach, a drink becomes a gel. And two things sort of came out of that. One was it's going to bypass your stomach. So you're going to absorb this now in your small intestine, where the tolerance for absorbing carbs is much, much, much higher. So athletes are going to 120, 130, 140 grams of carbs. I don't recommend anyone to do that day one. Like they're spending months and months sort of building up that tolerance, but they are doing it. And the other advantage that isn't talked about quite as much is the gel is quite heavy. So it sits on the bottom of your stomach and gastric empties a little faster than if it was just a liquid that wasn't quite as heavy. So you get this sort of faster gastric emptying. Plus you now have, you're bypassing the stomach and the absorption of these carbs. So now guys are really ramping up how many carbs per hour they're absorbing. And in high performance, situations, running a marathon, in a bike race, if you can maintain that 100 grams plus per hour, you're really bringing back in the most efficient fuel that your body could possibly use to, convert into energy.
No, interesting stuff, right? Because that's such the important piece is before you bonk or before you even get to that point, you can keep the carbs going.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation that at the time Nike has been talking with all these 2 hour and faster marathon times, it's all about the carbon little shim in the shoe, and that's what the fancy shoes are what's causing it. But we have to also empirically, if you look at the data, it's probably more likely the fueling strategy that's led to these lower times than it is the actual equipment itself.
Well, it's building the engine, right? It's race cars don't get faster without faster engines, and it's right. You guys are doing the same thing, and that's what you're getting the engine primed and ready to go.
Exactly. And so, and that's what I love about the feed is we're constantly sort of getting into these new technologies and new fueling strategies, and no one really has it figured out at first. And so there's a little bit of trial and error and sort of seeing how different athletes respond. And what we saw with Morton 3-4 years ago, now we're seeing with ketones. Even though ketones have been happening for a decade or more, now we're seeing them really hit the mainstream and seeing sort of all the different ways that athletes are sort of, benefiting from ketones.
And talk to us about the ketone thing, right? That's, again, what you heard about Sky doing it a couple of years ago and more people starting to do it. And talk to us about the inner workings in layman terms of what ketones are.
Yeah, I remember a story sitting in the team car and we were behind the Sky car and I wasn't driving, but Garrett Thomas had gone back to get a bottle and dropped it. And I think he came back to he came back to our team car and said, oh, that bottle was 5,000 quid, mate. That they had just dropped of one of the early ketone bottles. I don't know if it really cost 5,000, pounds or not, but it was hilarious at the time when we didn't even know, right, what they were taking in their bottles. But so ketones started at Oxford. There's really just one form of it, which is the ketone ester. You'll see on Amazon and other places like all these ketone salt products, we don't sell, just because I'm worried that they're dangerous. Like there's very, very high sodium levels with these things, and so high that I think it's clearly unhealthy for many people. And we don't know if you have hypertension or other issues that would be, affected by super high sodium. So I just don't feel comfortable selling that product. So we only sell the ketone ester, which unfortunately is very, very expensive because it's a much more complicated process to create. And all the clinical trials that look at sports performance, recovery, cognitive benefits, all of those trials have been done on the ketone ester, not these salts. So let's just separate the world into sort of two halves there. So when you talk about ketone ester, that's from Oxford. the U.S. government, DARPA, I think had it was about $80 million grant, you know, over the last 20 years for them to develop this ketone ester for the U.S. military. They did. They were successful with it. It's sort of, I don't know if this is the right technical term, but your body recognizes it as, you know, the same as the, it's natural, you know, naturally produced ketones, even though it's an exogenous source. So it's basically like an extra fuel tank that you put on your body. So your ketones are already a fuel source in your body, right? You're converting fat into ketones. It's the preferred fuel source of your brain. And now you're just adding more to your body, and they taste terrible. Like I don't mean bad, like they taste like if you wanted to drink nail polish remover, that's probably what the best thing it would taste like. And we've got great videos of it because it not only hits you once, it's like, you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Then like 5 seconds later, it hits you like a second time and you're like, oh, that is really bad. So I love to film someone every time they use it. The good news is after you've used like 4, 5, 6 bottles, or as many as I've used these days, you're totally immune to it. Like maybe my taste buds are fried, but it doesn't bother you anymore. So pro athletes started using this first for energy. They're like, oh, this is an energy source. And it is. And they are using it in long races, and they're having, you know, really, you know, profound impacts. That's why there's so much talk about them. They really became even more popular when they ran this study. This Dr. Peter Hespel in the Netherlands ran a study about using it for recovery. And they showed that over a 3-week race, like the Tour de France, the athletes with ketones had 15% better recovery markers than those that weren't on the ketones. So then all the other athletes said, oh, this makes more sense. It was also a little more affordable. So rather than trying to drink like 4 or 5 bottles for each athlete during a race, you're talking about one bottle of 25 grams right after you finish your workout and one bottle of 25 grams right before bed. That was sort of the protocol for recovery. So a little bit, you know, lower consumption, easier to manage. You're not trying to do it while you're racing. And then a lot of the athletes started saying, like, when I take this, I'm not hungry. So it was pretty clear that this suppressed hunger. So now a lot of the athletes are using it for weight loss. And I would say that's probably half of the use case, where they're training, they're waking up, they're not eating, you know, they're fasted in the morning. They're using ketones to suppress hunger, but also give them a little bit of energy and also maintain mental acuity so that they don't have that sort of like brain fog or, you know, that you have when you're fasting. So it makes fasting, essentially calorie restriction, like 10 times easier if you drink a bottle of ketones. And you don't need the big bottle. You just need like 10 grams to get that benefit. And that's the other way it's being used.
Interesting. So no, and some pretty cool technology there with, you know, Morton with the ketones. What's next? What are you seeing now? You guys are at the cutting edge of sort of supplementation and athlete sort of performance. What's next in the world of athlete supplements?
Now, that's a good question. I think the next most popular one, because it's effective and you feel it right away, is boosting nitric oxide. And this isn't new. This has been around. I think we're just getting better. The companies are getting better and better at supplements that do it. So there's two in the marketplace. There's Suralt Red, which is nice because it's just like recommended dose is one pill. Most people take two. It's just a tiny little pill. You take it, you know, 45 minutes before you work out, go for a run, and all of a sudden it just like, your legs just hurt less is the way I describe it. Like, especially as you're just getting to your threshold, you feel like you can go at your threshold longer than you otherwise could, or you can push like a few watts higher or a little bit faster, you know, on sort of your running pace. And you can, rather than you cross the threshold and you can sort of maintain it for 3-4 minutes and then you sort of feel like you're coming down, all of a sudden I feel like I can maintain it for like 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. So you just don't have the pain. And that makes sense, because what's happening with the nitric oxide is these supplements are boosting nitric oxide in your blood, and that's dilating your arteries so you can have more oxygen-rich red blood cells going to your working muscles. So you're basically, you know, you're basically blood doping to some extent. I don't really want to call it that, but you know, that's the natural effect. It's not going to like change you to like, you know, it's not going to give you a 10% or 20% performance gain. This is a subtle gain, but it's totally safe. It's readily accessible. You just do it 45 minutes before you go work out. The Swiss RX product that came on the market last year is even more interesting. You know, while it is more pills, so you have to take, you know, 4 to 6 capsules, it lasts a lot longer. So traditionally the beet-based nitric oxide boosters, they sort of like ramp up. You know, like in 45 minutes, you sort of hit a peak and then they almost ramp down just as fast. So you sort of get like this peak effect. Whereas the Swiss RX formula is using an amino acid and it goes up, but then it maintains sort of maximum nitric oxide levels for almost 4 hours. So you don't really need to time it as well. And you also aren't going up and then having it fall off. You're sort of getting to the same peak as you do with the beet supplements, but it lasts a lot longer. So if you're only working out for an hour, you know, I'll use the Sural Red, but if I'm working out for, you know, more than 90 minutes, I'll typically use the Swiss nitric oxide product. So I feel like that's the next thing that's like, not that it's new, but it's sort of, you know, regaining a lot of momentum right now.
Now the nitric oxide piece is huge. And I've used some of it, the product. It's great because it allows you to, like you said, once you get ramped up, you can go longer, you can go harder. And it's a supplement on top of everything else that I think can actually make a difference in doing it right. I've tried a million supplements and 999,005 didn't work, but there's 5 that do work, right? And I think that's the key to finding it.
Yeah, that's actually the brand Swiss RX that we sell. That's really their, you know, there and ours. We worked very closely with the manufacturers there on building the Swiss RX line because, you know, it's the efficacy. Like if you're going to spend the money, and frankly, from my standpoint, if I'm going to take the pills every morning, I sort of want to know that they're going to work. And the challenge that, and this is the Swiss RX backstory is really interesting because we were getting a lot of feedback and from pro athletes, especially like, you know, doctors, like, you know, Dr. Kevin Sprouse, who works with the EF team, and, you know, saying, we see all these studies talking about the clinical, you know, benefits in these clinical tests and clinical trials of these supplements. But then we go to find that same formula in the market and it doesn't exist. So usually because the clinical trials are funded by a pharmaceutical company and they've got a patented formula, so they've got the money to go do it. But then the formula is too expensive for most of these vitamin supplement companies to go put in the market. So the Swiss RS team, their mission was to say, we're just going to get the exact same formula that already went through the clinical trial. And so you can trust the efficacy. And it's naturally a lot more expensive, but it works. Like you were saying, like some of the stuff I think you've tried it's remarkable. Like you'll take one collagen and be like, I don't think I feel anything. And all of a sudden you'll take a different collagen and be like, oh, wow, actually, I feel like my knee's not hurting as much or it's starting to repair. And it's amazing, you know, for, like I said, it's certainly more expensive, but like, I guess the old adage, you get what you pay for.
Well, it's exactly, it's like you could go drive a Camry or you could go drive a Porsche, right? It's sort of, it's going to get you to the same place, but it's going to be what's going to have much better performance.
Yeah. And that was one anecdote, a team trainer on a world tour cycling team. He was like, this is ridiculous. We're paying this guy €3.5 million a year. And I'm trying, and I'm giving him a $70 multivitamin. Like, isn't there a $150 multivitamin that's better given the investment we've already made in this athlete? And the answer was, yeah, there was. And that's sort of, you know, the philosophy at Swiss RX is to put the best regardless of cost. And then, you know, if you want to buy the best, then that's your option.
So many of the listeners, right, and including myself, including you, are sort of the same generation, mid-40s, mid-50s, sort of in there who are constantly getting after it. And recovery is becoming, believe me, I can't do what I used to do, but I still think I can, but you don't recover as well. What are some of the best supplements for recovery and some of the best protocols that you know for recovery?
Yeah, tell me about it. I definitely have the same problem. You know, I think it hits you. I don't know if it's like 42, 43, 44, but it gets worse and worse. We're like, you put out that hard effort. You're like, oh, that was awesome. And then you go to look the next day. You're like, I'm not going to be able to do that again today.
Right. And yeah, recovery. I used to say, I was talking to my wife the other day of doing like multi-day stage races. And I'm like, there is no way I could do that. And I ride the old Fitchburg course that was big in the 90s here. I'm in the same town as it. And I'm like, I used to go up this 10 times. Now I'm like going up it like once coming home, like suffering. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because that is the sweet spot of feet athlete, that sort of 35 plus, you know, athlete. And what we see is they can go just as hard as they did when they were in their 20s. But they can't do it the next day. You know what I mean? It takes a little longer to sort of, you know, recharge and get back up to that same intensity level. So recovery is interesting. I think there's two parts of recovery. There is, are you recovering from an injury? Or are you just sort of day-to-day recovery? And what we're interested in is when we think about day-to-day recovery, there's sort of two components when you're over 40. And the first one is, what are you doing from a cellular energy standpoint? And this is where we looked a lot at sort of the biohacking community and, you know, sort of what was happening there, where they're sort of focused more on anti-aging and sort of, you know, supplementation like that. And what I found the most effective was focusing on NAD. So NAD is a natural substance, you know, substance that we have. It's critical in the process of making ATP, sort of energy production at the cellular level. And it naturally declines. I'm going to miss the exact number, but I think it like, but from like age 30 to 90, it declines like 90% your natural production. So it sort of corresponds with aging. And that's sort of this parallel that got all of these sort of researchers really interested in boosting NAD. And, I started using them 4 years ago. First was a True Niagen is the product. It's from a professor, a researcher out of Dartmouth. And they have a patent, you know, on this product. And it's NR, I won't try to pronounce the exact, you know, ingredient. And it's a precursor to NAD. So you take the NR, your body can produce more NAD. There's another product that I actually like even a little bit better. I do combine the two, called NMN. NMN is another one of these precursors. The problem with NMN is if you take it orally, like in your stomach, it doesn't get past your liver. But this company, Quicksilver, made it as a liposomal ingredient. So you just put it underneath your tongue for 20, 30 seconds in the morning. I found those to be really, really interesting. And so there's a three-way cocktail that we use, which is True Niagen, Quicksilver, NMN, and then the Swiss RX multivitamin, which really isn't a multivitamin. It's much more focused on cellular energy production. It's just because it also contains all the daily sort of nutrients. It's called a multivitamin. That combo I've found has been really, really effective to boost sort of just my daily energy level and, you know, not getting tired at 2 p.m. and, you know, motivation to train. And it's subtle. It's not like I'm going to take and feel something the next day, but I've, you know, repeatedly been using it. We've worked with Dr. Sprouse and, you know, he's had the same experience. Like, I'm not sure it's totally working, but I feel better, so I'm going to keep using it. It's sort of been the mentality, and that's been really common the feedback I've seen from thousands of customers that are on that protocol, that three-way cocktail of True Niagen, Quicksilver, they call it NAD plus, but that's the NAD supplement, and then Swiss RX multivitamin. That's the three-way that works really well there. And then the other part is, what's the like the acute recovery piece that you use after your workout? And that's this recovery shake that's like absolutely killing it. I think it's outselling. You could combine all protein shakes together and the total recovery shake. Again, it's a Swiss product, but it started last fall. Actually, Lance and George on their Move podcast and the tour started talking about it. And that really kickstarted sort of the growth of people trying out total recovery. And so think about it this way. Most recovery shakes, if you think about them, they're just carbs and protein. So it's great. You need to refuel, and they're really good for that. And there's lots of good ones out there. But for some athletes, they're sort of a gut bomb. Like they just, like they don't process all that whey protein very well, sort of sits in their stomach. It's maybe too many carbs to use unless it's like your hardest workout. And so Total Recovery took a different approach. They said, listen, yeah, for sure you need to get refueled. Maybe not even to the level that you probably thought you did in terms of maybe a little bit lower carbs, a little bit lower protein. But what you really need to do with recovery is you need to manage inflammation. So as you get older, you have less, your immune system is more dysregulated. So you potentially get more out of control inflammation. Some inflammation is good. You definitely need some to lock in those performance gains, but you want it to be controlled and managed. And so the Total Recovery product took like this four-way approach to managing inflammation. First, it gave you a protein that wasn't inherently inflammatory because it came from rice, as opposed to like whey, where a lot of people, that's actually causing more inflammation when you're using like a whey or dairy-based protein. And then they looked at it and said, okay, we're going to throw in a bunch of turmeric and bee propolis and stuff that like very specifically goes after inflammation. And then they look at the gut. So the gut is probably the main system in your body that's regulating whether you're having an inflammatory response or not. So they sort of calm down the gut. And then, you know, has vitamin D, quercetin, other things just to work on your sort of more autoimmune sort of functionality. So it's been, it's crazy to watch like how much of it's getting sold. And I think it helps that it tastes good. I think you've tried it.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. I love it. It's something I use both after even a hard workout or even like a CrossFit workout, right? It's something that's, and again, it tastes good, right? It's not chunky. It's not chalky. It actually goes down way easier than a lot of the others. And I'm always hesitant when I try new things like that, because it's like, this just tastes like crap, or it's chalky, or you can't get, you know, seem to get it down right. Right. And I think that's half the battle of why people don't use a lot of recovery stuff, because it's sort of a pain in the ass. Right. And if you can make it simple, it makes life way easier.
Exactly. It's one product that we've seen huge uptake with the pro athletes that buy from us. Like we've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pro athletes. And for some reason, this is the one that they, you know, a lot of them have a sponsored, you know, protein shake or some other product, but this is the one they've all said like, no, I need to buy this myself and spend my own money on it because they do like it better.
What's not on the bottle, or what's on the bottle is not necessarily what's in the bottle, right?
Yes. I was the enforcer of that rule of no, you got to use the sponsored products for 10 years, you know, and the hardest category was cycling shoes. No one wanted to, you know, be on a sponsored set of cycling shoes. So I have no idea how those European teams get all their riders to wear the same kind of shoes. And nutrition, you know, yes, there's a sponsored product. That's what's on the bus, but the guys, you know, you need variety, you know, like you don't want, who wants to just have the same chocolate chip? Like chocolate chip cliff bar is amazing, but like you want 12 of them in a row, you know, it's just like, and what happens is when you don't add diversity, you stop eating, you don't eat as frequently, and now you're under fueling, and that's a much worse situation. So we think it's really important to mix up flavors, mix up brands, you know, have a lot of variety in your sports nutrition.
No, it's the same thing with ski boots too, right? You know, even though they're plastic and you can mold them, it's like, it's just crazy of, you know, how everything fits people so differently. And it's the same with nutrition. It's like nutrition, what's going to work for you is not necessarily going to work for me. It's same with Medicaid, with everything, right? Because we're all individuals just like everyone else, but in reality, our insides tolerate things completely different. Some people are much hardier in what they can eat versus some people are much more sensitive. And it's, you know, it takes a little while sometimes to find out what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah. My passion, my secret little side project is ski boots. And I fortunately got a new pair from Head this year, midway through the season. I was sort of struggling and thought I was getting older. I couldn't really compete and beat all the masters guys I raced with, and got these new boots. And then, you know, it was a second plus faster, and it was sort of game over. It just made everything easier. So it's amazing. Like those things that like help you immediately overnight, those are sort of my favorite, right? You know, like, wow, I got this and, you know, I had saw an immediate improvement the next day.
Yeah. No, my pair of my boots that I ski with all my friends and everything, they're like 10 years old. I'm scared to go get new ones. They're warm. The buckles don't even work anymore. They're like slippers. They got fur on the inside. And then it's like, wow, these are great. Then race boots are just race boots, right? It is what it is. And no matter how you tweak, that's a whole different ball game.
That's true.
But awesome. We're here coming up to a half hour, Matt. Thank you for the PhD level supplement talk. This is awesome. I love what you're doing at the feed. Talk to the listeners where they can find you, where they can find the feed, what's going on.
We're at, you know, thefeed.com. My email's matt@thefeed, you know, comes direct to me. You're welcome to email me anytime. Happy to give you advice and any input. And then we'll put together a feed credit code to, you know, give every listener sort of $10 to sort of kickstart their spending and you know, get them over here. So we'll hopefully you can put a link up in the show notes.
Definitely will. No, make sure that gets out there. And all the listeners too, you got to check out some of the stuff that Matt suggested, because it's game changer for us old guys that are still trying to get after it. So it works, but I think for the young guys or the young guys and gals really using it. And one final stop, we were talking about earlier, our Pulse Kids ski race. And I have my daughter before every race, give her the nitric oxide. And that's part of our going to the ski race thing. And it's worked phenomenally. So good stuff. Keep up the good work, what you guys are doing, and keep on crushing it.
All right. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it.
If anyone has any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email me at ken@executiveathletes.com. Thanks for listening. Go out there and make it happen.